Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
To come with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. And while you're going there, it's just to say that, you know, David, we're looking at the hero of faith, David, this evening. Jesus was called the Son of David. And that wasn't just because he was in the family line. But actually the spirit that was upon Jesus, the spirit that was upon David, flowed through. That anointing that was upon David's life actually also flowed upon Jesus because it came from the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look tonight about our hero of faith, David, this evening. And I just believe that the way God's going to bring it to us is, I want to encourage you, you're a David tonight. And I believe that God wants us to have David breakthroughs. And we're coming to a season where we're going to see much, much more of the supernatural. And God wants to work miracles through your life and through my life. Rather than think it's up to somebody else or it's up to the leader of the church or someone who's gifted in that particular area of gifting. No, God wants to use the whole body of Christ. He wants to bring the whole church into a new place. And if we carry the same spirit that David had, this tremendous overcoming spirit of faith, then we're going to see amazing things happen. So fasten your seatbelts. Get ready for the accelerator's about to go down. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it just says this. It says that the Lord said to Samuel, this is verse 1, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I've provided himself a king among his sons. And when we start this this account of David here, Samuel the prophet had anointed Saul the king of Israel. And it had come to a point where Saul basically had moved away from what God had called him to do. And basically God had actually given him a red card. Okay? And the anointing left Saul at this time. Although Saul was still king, God had already decided, I'm giving the anointing to a new king who's going to be raised up. And his name was David. And God said to Samuel, you need to go to a guy called Jesse. And Jesse has 8 sons. And one of them I'm going to anoint. He didn't tell him who it was. He said, you just need to go there. And when he goes, when you go there, I want you to fill your ram's horn with oil and put all this Castrol GTX all over his head and anoint him because he's going to be anointed with a fresh anointing that's going to give him breakthrough. And it's going to enable him to slay giants and do tremendous things. You know, we are giant slayers.
Absolutely.
That I don't know how you see yourself tonight. I used to have a very negative, very minimal sight of how I saw myself. And then after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had a slightly different view. And today I've got an incredibly different view of how God sees me. And we all need to get hold of how God really sees us. If we get a revelation, first of all, who Jesus Christ is for us, and then in that revelation we'll understand who we are, and in that revelation of understanding who you are in Christ Jesus, that fresh anointing upon you, God calls you an overcomer. He calls you a son of God. He expects to see the same evidences that were in his son when he was on this earth in your life and in my life. And you know, Jesus, when he came here and died on that cross and rose again from the dead, he did everything in that one moment of time. He took all of our sin. He took all of our sickness, didn't he? He confronted all the powers of darkness. And basically, the victory that he won, he's put into your life tonight.
Yes.
David, in a sense, even though he was before the cross, and he was, about 1,000 years before Jesus came. But, you know, with David, somehow, he was almost like a new covenant believer in the way that he lived. He wasn't actually in the new covenant, but he was kind of living ahead of his time. And because he had such a revelation of the glory of God, he had a revelation of worship, he had a revelation of praise, he had a revelation of meeting with God. And so this overview, just to start with, is that Samuel basically goes through the family, visits Jesse in his home. He goes through the sons. And if you read down, I think it's around about verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance. He was talking about his oldest son called Eliab. And in walks this very tall man called Eliab. He was handsome. He was big. He had all the attributes that Samuel thought he would probably be the one. But God said to him, don't look at the outward appearance or his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see it as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And he went through the seven sons. And you know how the story goes, that as he went through son by son, eventually God just said, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that, through the whole seven sons. And the eighth son didn't happen to be there. Jesse hadn't even called him in. He was just his boy, just looking after sheep somewhere out yonder. And Samuel asked this question because he knows God hasn't said yes. And he said, have you got anyone else? Anyone else that you've forgotten? Well, I've got a little boy. He's out in the field keeping the sheep. He was about 16 years of age. And basically he calls him in. And the moment he walks into the room, Samuel knows God says, this is the boy. This is the one. And Samuel anoints him. And basically as when he anoints him with oil, it says in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Just giving you a little bit of background. David was anointed. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. God's called you, like David. And without the anointing, we won't accomplish anything at all. We need the fresh anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, but we need to live under the benefits of that. And David had this anointing, but it's no good just being anointed. You can receive all the anointing you like. You can have as many hands laid on you as you like, but if you don't do with what God's given to you, nothing will move forward. David was a man of action. I love reading about David because there's something about David. It says that he ran. He kind of ran everywhere. He was a runner. He loved, he had excitement, he had a passion for God. And you can read it more than once, that how he ran here and he ran there. And David was running after God, that's why. God wants men and women who are after God's heart. He loves it. I tell you, if you have a heart that loves Jesus, a heart after God, it's almost like a magnet to God. God draws you to himself, and you actually draw God to you yourself as well. If you have this magnet of love for him, and God's looking for those kind of people here in Worthing, in Crawley, in Horsham, in our nation. He's looking for magnets who, like David, will draw God to himself because of the passion for him. David was such a man, and he had this incredible anointing. And when we read through into 1 Samuel 17, you have the story about David and who else? Goliath. Perhaps you know an old song. I know an old song, but I'm going to sing it to you because Jonathan probably throw me out of the room for singing it. Goliath, the giant. And David, in this first 11 verses or thereabouts, basically it tells us about Israel. It tells us about the Philistines, the enemy really, and it tells about Goliath, who was really the leader of these Philistines. And do you know how tall Goliath was? Approximately? 9 foot, some say 7 foot. I think it was a little bit short for Goliath, but there's a little argument going on whether it was 7 foot, 8 foot, or 9 foot. It doesn't really matter, but he was very tall. He was a big, beefy man and very intimidating. And verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, because basically he defied the armies of Israel, and he said, give me a man that I may fight him. I'm going to kill him and kill all of you too. And these were his threats day by day. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This was a people who were intimidated and afraid. And I just want you just for a few minutes, just speak back to me just for a couple of minutes. Let's just describe what Goliath was like. What was Goliath like? Just describe what he was.
Big.
Tall.
Scary.
Scary. Sorry?
Green.
Who said free?
Green.
Green. Green. Okay. All right. Okay. I didn't know that. But anything else?
Bully.
He was intimidating, wasn't he?
Dare I say the mountain?
Yeah, he seemed like a mountain to people. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was good. Like a mountain. Shouting. He was a great warrior. He was a bad warrior, but he was a great warrior, if you know what I mean. And this Goliath was intimidating God's people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we have to face up to our Goliaths. And if the reason I'm bringing this word tonight, apart from the fact that we're looking at David and Goliath, is that if we're going to be like David, we need to know how to handle our Goliaths. Because a Goliath could be a problem of sickness, it could be an issue of relationship, it may be a financial problem, a difficulty, it could be a multitude of things. It could be the Muslims down the road who meet like they do in Crawley in a great big mosque. They seem kind of quite intimidating physically, naturally speaking. But you know what? God has told us, I want you to be like David, and I want you to slay the giant. I want you to come against those powers of darkness. I want you to have victory over that sickness. I want you to defeat these things through your faith and not be intimidated by the Goliath of fear. Fear is a very, very big enemy. And we prayed for a number of people in Crawley this morning about the whole issue of fear. And fear can be a Goliath. You know, when something overwhelms you, that can be like a fear. And God says, I've called you to be like David, and I want you to overcome every fear, every bullying spirit, every intimidating spirit. I want you to rise up in me, not in your own strength, but in me. And so this is how God wants us to be. I want us to go forward a little bit further now in this chapter, in 1 Samuel 17. And let's just read at verse 23 and 24. See, David, his father sent him because he was still looking after the sheep. But you know, David was sent to see how his brothers were getting on. And he was sent with food and supplies. His three eldest brothers were already working for Saul. They were already in the army. They were already fighting these Philistines. And it says that David left his supplies in the hand of the supply, ran to the army. There it is, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard these words that he spoke. And it says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They were terrified. Now, it's not a good place to be. But there was one man that wasn't terrified, and that was David. David had this tremendous God-given faith that he was not intimidated, not one jot, because he knew his God. And if we're going to see the supernatural, we're going to see the things of God come, we really need to know our God, don't we? We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know him in our lives, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And not be intimidated by sickness, disease, the enemy comes in all shapes and sizes. But God wants us to be like David. David wasn't a huge man. David was probably quite ordinary in many ways. He was the youngest in his family. But God chose him and anointed him. But David was big on the inside. David was far bigger than Goliath on the inside. Because he knew God was great. So when David saw the Goliath, he didn't see how big Goliath was. He saw how big God was over Goliath. I think that's where God wants us to be today. When we think about Worthing or Horsham or Crawley or reaching people for Christ, don't think this is a vast job. This is enormous. It's too big for me. It may be too big for you, but it's not too big for God. And the Holy Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. And will enable us to have a new perspective. David certainly had a completely different perspective than the rest of Israel put together. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't afraid. He was quite the opposite. He was a man of tremendous faith. Hallelujah. So Goliath was big. He was intimidating. He was bullying. He had negative words, threats. He was controlling. He was full of pride and arrogance. That's enough about the enemy, okay? We know all about the enemy. And then Israel, God's people, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of unbelief. These are things that will stop us from actually conquering our Goliaths. There was defeat. There were negative words. Just be careful in your thinking. Don't allow negative thoughts to actually take root in your life. Kick them out. Don't allow them to get rooted into you. If you have a negative thought, put the blood of Jesus over it. Get rid of it. You know, if you start to talk about things that are negative, repent. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from negative words as well, because if we remove those negative thoughts and negative words and begin to fill ourselves up with the word of God, with the positive things of faith, you know, God will quickly and not just fill us with the Spirit, but he will actually cause us to carry that victory into other people's lives. And that's why we're talking about David tonight. God wants you to be like David, bringing the victory of God that was in his own life. Remember, David, it says that he killed a bear, at least on one occasion, when it was attacking his father's sheep. Another time, it says that a lion attacked the sheep, so he took hold of the lion by the beard, by the mane, and he hurled it to the floor and killed it. This guy had begun to exercise his faith in the natural things of life. You know, God will train us through the things that we do in the workplace, in our families. Often, no one else will have seen what happened, but you just gained a victory there. Let me encourage you, Get the victory in your in the natural things of life. Get the victory in your workplace. Get the victory in your home life, in your marriage. Get the victory in those areas where not everybody else sees that, but God does. And start exercising faith in those things, and you'll begin to see God has given you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And he wants you to exercise that victory in the I'm going to say, the normal things of life. And you know, if the Bible says if we're faithful in natural things, God will make us faithful over spiritual things. So God sees these things as being very, very important. So God was training David as a small boy. He was training you, probably as a small boy as well, small girl. He's been training you up in the things of God. And the more that we apply faith into these areas, then God will entrust more to us. And then you see David now is now coming into a public arena. There's a bigger job to do. There's a greater work to do. And because David was faithful there, back there, and he killed the lion, he killed the bear, he wasn't intimidated, he didn't get into fear, but he conquered something. He had victory there. He knew that when God moved him to this position now, where it's a whole new realm, this is a different realm altogether, that same victory was going to work for him because he'd grown in his faith. He'd grown in his knowledge of God. He was increasing in his power. And so David was now getting ready to kill a different kind of a giant. What's God been training you to do? We're all different ages here tonight, but God's had us in his training school. And God doesn't want us to park up spiritually and stay in the same position. Right. I don't want to be in the same place tonight this time next year. I believe that I will have moved on in God and seen some greater victories, so I can look back a year later, look back to tonight and say, wow, God's done amazing things because I've been faithful to him. David had this desire to know more of God and to put it all into practice. That's the great thing about David. He was very, very practical, and we need to be the same way. What about David? Verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. That was a great kind of, isn't it? To give someone that tax-free. You'll have a tax-free life. If you kill this giant, if you deal with this, the offer there was you can have my daughter. This was what Saul was saying. You can have one of my daughters to be married with you. You're going to have the blessing of the king, and you're going to be tax-free for the rest of your life. Wow, that was quite an incentive. But it didn't sound like too many were actually going for this because they were intimidated. And it says the people answered him in this the same way, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills Goliath. And David heard all of this, and he wasn't particularly impressed by it. But, you know, David had faith in God. Yes. David had a God perspective. How about you tonight? God says, have you got a faith perspective? Faith in God. This isn't our faith trying to work something. This is the faith that God gives to us. And David was learning to walk by faith. He'd already killed a few things already, but now he was coming up to the big one. And there was a great victory coming his way. You know, there's victories that are waiting. God's waiting for you to gain more victory for his glory. Every one of us in this room, the students going on placements and all of us in the work that God's engaged us to, there are greater victories out there that God wants us to win. It's called advancing God's kingdom. There are souls, people to be saved. There's people to come into the kingdom of God that desperately need to be saved. And God is training us to actually slay our Goliaths. Actually, not just the Goliaths that face up. We kind of, this morning in Crawley, we were mainly focusing on dealing with the Goliaths in our personal lives. I felt tonight it was really particularly to do with actually killing the Goliaths on behalf of others. So that there's a breakthrough comes through. There's a breakthrough that happens. And let's look at verse 32. Can we just go there in verse 32? David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David had a good perspective of himself. He was a servant. So he's been anointed as king, but he sees himself as a servant. And we are the same. We are sons of God, aren't we? We're a royal priesthood. Jesus Christ is our older brother. We have a great Father God in heaven. We have his Spirit living within us. But we're also his servants. And having this kind of dual thing, I'm a son, but I'm also a servant. David saw himself as a servant of God. And therefore, because he was humble, because he walked in humility with God, God could use him in great ways. And it's a reminder to us that if we will see ourselves as servant, we're here to serve the cause of the kingdom. We're here to serve God with faith. And David had this great, great attitude. He had a good heart. Amen. Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Listen, for some of you slightly younger adults here this evening, don't let anyone ever put you down. Because it's not to do with age, it's to do with anointing, it's to do with being obedient, it's to do with faith, it's to do with being a servant, walking with God. That's what it's all to do with, whatever age we are. And David knew this. He was just a young lad, but God used him greatly. This should really encourage us tonight. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of you, Lord." That was his attitude. That was his perspective. David saw that this Goliath was basically an uncircumcised Philistine. That was it. He didn't see him as any big shakes. He wasn't intimidated. He saw him in the light of God. And God wants to bring us into a place where everything that we see that represents a Goliath or represents an enemy, we see it in the light of God. It becomes very small. It becomes nothing before God. And then listen to God's instruction, how we are to deal with it. David had a great heart. David was maligned. He was misunderstood. But he carried no offense. He remained faithful to God. And David spoke faith. If you just read what he says here, you can understand David had a faith perspective. He saw that this Philistine could not defy the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, this is in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Amen. And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord will be with you." Do you remember Saul tried to put his armor onto David? Never wear somebody else's armor. Saul represents really the natural man. A man who living in his own strength, living in out of his own reason, living out of his own ability. That was Saul. But God says, if you're going to be a giant slayer, you've got to learn how to live out of the Spirit and live out of the instruction of God. And sometimes God instructs us to do things in slightly different way than we'd be used to, like regularly. Stepping out of the boat, doing things that we're not used to doing even. And David was very open to God. And he put Saul's armor on only to appease him, really. And he said, "I can't do it. I can't do it." And in fact, if he had worn that armor, he would never have killed Goliath. He would have been killed himself. So never put on somebody else's armor. Never try and be a copy of somebody else. Everyone in this room is different. Now, we all need to be like Jesus, and we all need to know how to submit and all of that, and being together in the church. But the anointing that you have is your anointing that God's given to you. So live out of the anointing that the Holy Spirit's given to you and learn how to flow in that anointing. David was anointed by God. No one else could be exactly like David. And so David knew that, no, this armor was going to be no good. God would provide what he needed to fulfill his ministry and the call of God in his life. You know you're unique tonight. Every one of you is unique. God has called you to kill your Goliaths, the giants that face you and face other people, so there can come a release to the people of God. I believe that God's called each one of us here tonight to have great victories, not just for ourselves, not just in our own, if you like, our own network or our own family, but God wants to release the victory through you so that people in the church can get released. People out there down at the seafront or in the town centre can get released from sin and from sickness and disease. God has given us his victory, my brothers and sisters. He's given us the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so he wants us to wear the armour of Christ and use that armor that he's given particularly to each one of us, the armor of Jesus, and learn how to flow in that anointing. And as we do so, we'll know great victories. Praise God. Let's look at verse 45. Verse 44, this is when Goliath comes near to David. Everything is ready. And let's just go back a few verses here. Right at the end of verse 39, it says that David took off Saul's armor. He took off the armor of Saul. David took them off. And he took his staff. So God has puts things into your hand. And for David, it was a staff, a stick. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. That means ruddy, rosy-faced, you know, good complexion. This was David. And so the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you've come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you," listen to this, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You know, you have a name, the name of Jesus. You have the name of the Lord of hosts. That means when you step out, when you witness to somebody, when you pray for somebody, when you do something that God directs you to do, all of heaven is with you. Angels come to you. You know, I learned a lot when I shared before, when I was facing death, I learned a lot during that period of time when I was very sick and death was knocking at the door. But God's answer was no. My answer was no. The church's answer was no. And we realized then that we were coming up against a Goliath. And when people began to pray, we began to take authority in the name of Jesus against the spirit of death. That was my Goliath. That was a Goliath that was facing me at that time. But when the church began to pray, they took authority against that spirit. And that spirit basically was knocked to the floor. That spirit had to leave. There was a great victory because people were actually exercising their faith against this demonic sickness that had come upon me. And the demon behind it, the spirit of death that was trying to take me out, when that spirit was resisted, they saw it. I saw it go as well. We saw that spirit, that demon leave, that spirit of death leave when the prayer was made. That's the authority that we have over sickness, over death. Amen. I believe in my lifetime, I'm going to see people raised from the dead. Yes. That's been the desire all my life, to see people healed and set free. And if they need to be raised from the dead, let's see them raised from the dead as well. Amen. Amen. That's God's perspective. God's the author of life, not death. And I believe we need to have this kind of... So let God know what the things that you're believing Him for and begin to declare them. You see, David, as we read here, David says here, he says in verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord doesn't save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." You see, David had a heavenly perspective. David knew his God. David was listening to God, and David saw what God actually saw. And we need to tune in to the Holy Spirit. Let Him begin to show us in the different circumstances of life, in the church and outside of the church. We need to see things as God sees them. We need to have our thoughts changed so that we begin to think how God thinks about things. We need to thank God we have the mind of Christ and surrender to His mind and surrender to His thoughts. And as we do, our thinking will change. And then we begin to see things in the spirit. We begin to see people as God sees them. We begin to see our area, Worthing or Horsham or Sussex or our nation, as God sees our nation. We begin to see the church in a new light. And as we begin to see in this way, we'll be like David. We'll begin to see with a new faith perspective. And David began to declare the victory over the enemy. He began to speak about the things that would take place. He began to say, "This enemy is coming down. This enemy is coming out. We're going to take him down." He described exactly what would happen, and it did. It came to pass exactly as David spoke it. So David thought it, David spoke it, And David actually put legs on the feet of his faith and did something about it. God's calling us to active faith. He doesn't want us just to hear the words or just know the thoughts, but he wants us to actually put our faith into action and be part of the answer. Amen. I see God raising up Davids in the life of the church. I see the church becoming like David and beginning to run against the Goliaths that is trying to hinder and intimidate the church from growth. Trying to intimidate the church, saying you'll never grow, you'll never be able to do this, you're never going to see these kind of miracles. And God's all the time saying, oh yes, you will. And God wants to train us up so that we will take down the Philistine. It says here, I love reading this, verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David had this kind of aggressive faith that didn't hide back in the prayer room, or didn't stay back or run in the opposite direction like the rest of the people of Israel were. But he actually ran towards the problem. He actually ran towards the sickness. He actually ran towards that spiritual giant standing in the way. Because he knew, he said, I'm going to have him. I'm going to bring him down. And David had this faith perspective, and he ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And he put his hand into his bag and took out a stone. And it says he slung this stone and struck the Philistine in the forehead, right in the middle of his head. So that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. David was a good shot. God's called you to be a good shot. When you pray in the Spirit and pray with God's word, you can hit the enemy right in the head.
Yes,
right
on.
In the head.
Come on,
exercising authority in the name of the Lord of hosts. When we go out on the streets, when we witness and share the gospel with people, having prayed, we can hit the enemy right in the head. You know that there's two areas of the battle when we're talking about winning souls. One is in the prayer place, and that has to be won. But the second area is out there on the streets or out there in the workplace when we actually deliver the gospel to people, that we need to hit the enemy square in the head there too by the words that we speak. Words of love, words of power, and words of truth. God wants us to win the battle, win the victory. His victory has already been won, but we need to enforce his victory. Amen. The victory that he won on the cross. That's what this is all about. Jesus' victory has been given to you. Jesus' victory, won on the cross, has been given to you over Satan, over sin, and over death, and over sickness.
Amen.
You already know that, but then we've got to take this victory out and begin to see it put into people's lives. Demonstrate in, not just in the life of the church, but we need to see it demonstrated out into the unsaved world around us and bring people into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
That's what God's called us to do. And it says that David threw this stone, it hit him in the forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. And do you know what? There's times when we can hit the enemy and we can gain a victory, but we just leave it there and we walk off and go back home and have tea.
Right.
Or we put our feet up. And at that point, the giant rises again. God's calling us to not just hit the enemy in the head, but to take the sword and to cut his head off. God's calling for a radical faith that will take the head off the enemy. You know, for years and years, the church has been hitting the enemy, and sometimes that giant falls, depending on the faith and depending on the action of the church. But, you know, God's saying, no, this is time to take the head off the enemy off, to enforce that victory that was won on Calvary, and to see a great breakthrough take place. Where the enemy is defeated in towns and cities, where we begin to see breakthroughs with other faiths coming to Christ, where we begin to see the supernatural on a whole different level.
Yeah.
You know, God's stirring things up in this nation.
Yeah.
He's stirring up leaders and churches. There's a stirring work going on. Some people are getting very upset, but God is actually stirring the camp of the victors here. He's stirring up the camp of the church. And God is looking for you and for me to be like David. That's the message tonight. He wants us to stand in that place where we will carry the victory of Jesus and defeat the enemy. And it says here that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So David ran and ran again. David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. We need to cut the head off the enemy, whatever that means. We're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about, obviously, about spiritual things. You know, God's given us a word in part of Crawley that we're to really see a breakthrough, seeing people that are Muslim people being saved. And he's already told us that he's given us an open door. So we need to exercise the faith now to reach the Muslim community And we need your help, brother. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit to take the enemy's head off, to hit him in the head and then to take his head off. And that's when we're going to see multitudes being saved. That's when we're going to see miracles happening. Not just one miracle here and one there, but there's a flow of God because we stood in that place. God wants not just one David, but he wants the whole of the church to be like David. He wants the whole of... His desire was the whole of... He actually said about the children of Israel, you've been called for signs and for wonders. So God's expectation, he said, I want the whole of Israel to be like David. This tenacious faith. That's why God anointed David so that he would bring victory to the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you're facing Goliath today, but let me tell you, God will give you victory. But more than that this evening, I believe that God really wants us to have the victories, not for ourselves, but victories for others. And as some of you going out on placement, or for us here in Worthing or wherever we've come from, God wants us to see the outflowing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming upon us at this time. And actually, that victory that Jesus won for us on the cross will enable us to have victory in people being saved, people being delivered, people being set free. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's just respond this evening to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. Bible says that we've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's lift up our hands just to the Lord this evening. We have to believe in him and believe that we can enforce this victory that he won on the cross through faith, through praise, amen, through right thinking, through right speaking, through God's wisdom, through strategy, through right action. We're to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's what God's given to us to do. So let's just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit just for a few minutes. Just begin to pray out. And just begin to thank God. This is a season of victory for you. This is a season of victory in our lives. As we follow him, as we depend upon the Holy Spirit. Not wearing Saul's armor, but actually using what God's given to us. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, God. Praise your name. Praise your name tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful King. Wonderful Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for victory tonight, Lord. Thank you for great victories, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. It's not about us. It's about you, Lord. It's about your victory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, tonight, Lord, as we lift our hands to you, as we worship you, as we praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you for calling us to be like David. Lord, to be men and women of faith, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God, thank you tonight, Lord, that you've already shown your victory in many ways, but Lord, tonight it's about living in that victory and releasing it to others. Father, think of the greatest breakthroughs that are about to happen. Think of the greatest miracles that we've ever seen, Lord, about to happen. Think of the church is coming to a brand new place, Lord, that the church is going to be changed, Lord, more and more into your likeness, Lord. Lord, declaring and demonstrating the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you went to heaven, Lord, you sat down. He says the disciples went out. Wherever they went, signs and wonders followed the preaching and the declaration of your word. Hallelujah. Just make yourself available to him tonight. Hallelujah. Just make yourself available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. And I just want us to just, Jonathan, and just one or two, just go around. We're just going to pray for you. Just lay hands on you this evening. Just declaring the victory of Jesus over you this evening. There's a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit coming to you tonight. They'll give you breakthrough. They'll enable you to be a giant slayer in the Holy Spirit. That anointing God has placed upon you tonight.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.